Broadcasting live from the KSHP studios in the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. It's time to get on the right side of sports betting. It's time for the Odds Couple.
Welcome to the Odds Couple on KSHP AM 1400 Radio, Sin City, Las Vegas, Nevada. My name is Scott Pritchard. I'm a professional sports bettor handicapper featured on VegasInsider.com, my site, PritchardsPicks.com. That's PritchardsPicks.com. And Tim Donaghy, former NBA official, has a site now, RefPicks.com. I'm one of the featured handicappers. Be sure and check that out. We're live and worldwide Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on KSHP and simulcast live on Vegas Video Network. I'm joined, as always, by my good friend, the general manager here at KSHP, Brett Grant. Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday. We are here. Lots of great stuff going on in the world of sports. We're a day away from the NFL draft, which is always fun. And, of course, in the midst of the NBA playoffs right now.
Can't wait to get started. Let's get started with What Say You, LA Dodgers. Before we get to NBA playoffs, we're going to go ahead and tackle some baseball with the LA Dodgers. A little bit of a surprise, a bit of an underachieving team. They've been hit really hard with some serious injuries. What say you?
Well, they have, and it's hard to really feel sorry for any team in baseball that gets hit with injuries because it happens, and it does happen to every team as you go through. But now, obviously, they've had the issue with Zach Greinke being injured in the fight early in the season with Carlos Quentin. Now you had, going into the season, a guy they counted on in Hanley Ramirez, who's been out and hasn't played yet this season. And then you have the issue with Chad Billingsley needing Tommy John surgery, another big injury for them. So it's been a rough start for the Dodgers from that standpoint, but you really need to lean on your star players when that happens. So you say, okay, we went out and we got Carl Crawford. We have Matt Kemp. We went out and obviously we've got Clayton Kershaw. We need those guys to be our guys. We need Adrian Gonzalez to hit like Adrian Gonzalez has his entire career. I look at those guys and say, is it enough? Are those guys carrying us in the lineup? I mean, they got a couple home runs yesterday from Ellis, and they got a win yesterday with Clayton Kershaw on the mound, and they'll have one of their sub-pitchers pitching today. But injuries are part of baseball. Every team has them. The question is, can the manager utilize his 25-man roster to overcome those injuries, and can the general manager supplement the roster in the meantime to give them some weapons until their studs come back?
I think that's a good point. I don't think the other teams in the National League, American League, Major League Baseball in general, I don't think they care that the Dodgers have, some injury concerns. Yeah,
I don't know that the flowers are being sent out just yet. I think you're right.
Well, we look at Hanley Ramirez. He's due to be back in a couple of weeks for the Dodgers. Billingsley, man, Tommy John surgery will be out until now the first part of next year. Chris Capuano, good news, should be back next week. Greinke, we know, will be out another 4 weeks. So, I mean, he'll certainly help their cause if they can just tread water until some of these stud horses come back into the lineup.
Well, I think they're in a division where, now with the extra wild card, I mean, Colorado's been terrific to start the year, but I would expect the Rockies to come back to earth a little bit. I expect the Giants to be very good, and I think the Diamondbacks will be a pretty decent team. So you look at the Padres, and you look at the Rockies, and you're saying, okay, there are two wild card spots. If we're too far away where the division is not achievable, then obviously we got to get to one of those wild card spots, and we're still in April. I mean, yes, you have injuries. Would you rather have your injuries in September when you know you don't have a chance to recover, or would you rather have them in April? And I think if you look back at 2011, when the Cardinals won the World Series and made that dramatic comeback against the Rangers, I should say, they lost Adam Wainwright in spring training. He was the runner-up to the Cy Young Award the year before. And they had to figure out what were they going to do all year without a guy they projected to be their ace. And I think it's much better to know that that guy's gone early in the year than a guy losing him mid-season or losing him in the stretch run. You can make adjustments. So the earlier the injuries, I think, from a Dodger standpoint, is better for them because they can find out what they have before the trade deadline, for example, before the All-Star break, because there's going to be guys available come July because there's always teams selling assets in July.
Well, think about the San Francisco Giants from a year ago. I mean, their best player suspended for 50 games.
Right.
Then they chose not to, well, they chose to be held to a higher standard, quote unquote, do the right thing. That's why I love the Giants. And they said, listen, thanks, but no thanks. We're not going to put you on our postseason roster.
Right.
They went on to win the World Series without their best player.
That's a good point. And other guys picked it up, and they had 50 games to make that adjustment. And they realized, you know what, Melky? We're doing pretty well without you. And we don't want to upset what we got. Hunter Pence was doing well. He had other guys playing very well. They got great contributions from unsuspecting players like a Marco Scudero in the playoffs that you couldn't get out for some reason. It's like, who is this guy? Suddenly he turned into Babe Ruth or Henry Aaron and say, no, it's still Marco Scudero. I'm looking at him over there. But I think you bring up a good point. And the Giants and Bruce Bochy and their management team said, you know what? The guy got suspended. He's eligible to be brought back. We've got guys that are filling in, and I think what they decided to do is, you know what, we could bring him back, but we're going to have to send one of these other guys down that has been contributing to what we've done in the stretch run, and we don't want to do that. So I agree with you. Applaud the Giants for that move.
They've underachieved, the Dodgers. We like talking Dodger baseball here on KSHP. We broadcast their games, and tomorrow we've earned the day off, the odds couple, tomorrow, because we'll be broadcasting the Dodger game, but we'll be back Friday from 10 to 11. That's Monday through Friday, every week, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. on KSHP AM 1400 radio. The studio line is open, 702-221-7283. If you'd like to talk some baseball, you want to talk some sports, or the theories of sports betting, Brett Grant, myself, Scott Pritchard, PritchardsPicks.com, here to answer any questions you might have. But the Dodgers, 19-19 after they made some trades and picked up some free agent acquisitions last year, hoping to solidify the top spot in the National League West, did not make the playoffs. The Giants went on to win the division, went on to win the pennant, went on to win the World Series. And this year, fighting to get to and stay at 500. But again, I think time will certainly tell the story. Last night looked good. I mean, Ellis with not one but two dingers to knock off the Mets.
Yeah, and you had Clayton Kershaw on the mound, and that was the key thing. When Kershaw pitches, they have to win. Because I don't know if he doesn't win. I mean, and that's the one thing about baseball. If you have a team that is struggling and your ace is not getting the job done, who's the stopper in that rotation? Who's the guy then that you're going to be able to rely on that's going to stop a losing streak if it happens? It has to be your ace in that regard, and the Dodgers have now won a couple in a row, but they've only won three of their last seven games. They'll face a very good pitcher today in the young kid, Harvey, who's been absolutely fantastic for the Mets, 4-0 on the season, Matt Harvey, and we'll talk about him a little bit later on. And that's a game, by the way, at 4 o'clock today. We'll have it here. And I think with, you know, Ted Lilly, a very experienced guy pitching for them today in place of Chris Capuano, who's in place of Zach Greinke, I thought it was very important for them to get a 7-2 win yesterday. They swung the bats very well yesterday. Got a couple of home runs, as you mentioned, from Ellis, who's an unsuspecting source in that regard. But they also got a very good pitching performance from Clayton Kershaw.
Let's talk NBA playoffs. Yesterday, pretty exciting games. The Miami Heat knocked off the Milwaukee Bucks. Heat now up 2-0. It's just going to be so tough for the Milwaukee Bucks. I like their backcourt, Jennings. I also like Monte Ellis for this team. Sanders, pretty good center, pretty good front court player for the Bucks. But the fact is, they now have to win 4 of 5 games to advance to the next round. And to the surprise of no one, I just don't see that happening.
You're not going to go out on a limb and pick the Bucks? What's the matter with
today
you?
I'm not. No, I'm going to go with the odds-on favorite, the Miami Heat, not only to win the Eastern Conference, but, of course, to win the title. Certainly no value. I mean, they're a big fat minus 5-1 to win the Eastern Conference, and they're minus anywhere from $1.60 to minus $1.80 to minus $2 to win the NBA championship. I can see why. They won it last year.
As well they should be, probably, right?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they're better than they were a year ago. They're certainly deeper, and excluding an injury to one of the big three, I'd be hard-pressed to think any team will beat them 4 times in a 7-game series, especially with home court.
I agree, unless there's a catastrophic injury to one of either Wade or James. I think if you lose Bosch, you probably can overcome it with the other two guys in a series like that. But against Milwaukee, even though the Bucks covered the number last night, the Heat were really never sweating that they were ever going to lose the game. So I guess your zigzag theory was right again yesterday in all three cases. Again, we all zagged yesterday, and I didn't zag. I zigged a couple of times.
You are somewhat defiant.
I actually did the Charleston and the Cha-Cha as well. No, actually, I honestly didn't. I only played the one game last night. I did not play the Bucks or Heat game, and I did not play the Knicks and Celtics game. But looking at the theory you were talking about, the Heat covered game one, Bucks covered game two, the Celtics covered game one, the Knicks covered game two. The Warriors are now 2-0 against the spread against the Denver Nuggets. So I actually zagged in that spot, and I shouldn't have, apparently.
Well, here's what you have. The even the two nights ago, I mean, the zigzag theory went 2-0. So, I mean, so far so good. It's early. Long way to go. We have about 6 weeks of playoffs before we get to the NBA Finals. The Knickerbockers knocked off the Boston Celtics. Knicks up 2-0. It's interesting. I mean, I give the Celtics a lot of credit, the fact that they're fighting, they're competing. Rondo, star player, out. Charles Barkley, I thought, brought up a good point last night talking about the – and I equate this to what the Warriors are doing without David Lee. Big win last night for the Warriors on the road, knocking off the Denver Nuggets without their star player and David Lee. He says that Rondo and the Celtics, the players, right after the injury, they rally around and they really give a great effort. But it's tough to sustain that, and you're seeing that with the Celtics. I mean, I admire their heart, their determination, their passion, but they just don't have the talent that the Knicks have. And so now I look at the Warriors and the fact that they went on the road last night, beat a Denver team that only lost 3 games in the entire season, and they won going away as an 8-point dog. And same way there. I think they rallied around the fact that one of our star players are down. Let's pick up the team. Let's everyone have a great effort. I just don't know if that will continue to sustain itself.
No, and I agree with you. I think the Celtics are in the same, or the Lakers are in the same boat. I mean, you could play and rally around the loss of Kobe Bryant for a little while, but that's all you're going to be able to do. At some point, that's going to be a big factor that you're missing in your team. And you look at the lineup last night, the Celtics had the lead at halftime. And they came out, and in the second half, they scored 11 points in the third quarter and 12 points in the fourth quarter. That could be one of the worst second-half playoff performances offensively in the history of the playoffs.
It's a good point, horrible. Because, I mean, in the first two games, if you dissect it into two different halves, you're talking 25 points in one half, 23 points in game one, I believe it was. So, I mean, you cannot afford to do that in the playoffs on the road.
You got to find scoring somewhere, and let's not confuse the Knicks with the Steel Curtain defense.
Right.
I mean, so I'm watching this game. I'm going, this is like just it's like some college basketball games we watched this year. Going, these guys couldn't throw it in the ocean if they're in the middle of it. They couldn't hit water.
It really comes down to you can get so many cheap points by going to the basket. It takes energy. It takes effort. And continuity, consistency, stick-to-itiveness to continually go to the basket. But if nothing else, people fall in love. They fall in love with the outside shot. It's easy, but you seldom get fouled. You seldom get to the free throw line, and the best jump shooter is going to hit maybe 40-45% of his shots. That's it.
Right. No, you're right. And the Celtics just looked very poor last night. I mean, Carmelo Anthony was terrific, but and you give the Knicks a lot of credit for coming out of the locker room and really playing a terrific third quarter and taking control of that game. I think they outscored him by 22 points in the third quarter last night, or 21, and just destroyed the Celtics in the third quarter.
Golden State Warriors taking on the Denver Nuggets. Wow, what a game. I mean, game one, the Nuggets won by 2, 97-95. We talked about forward David Lee out for this series anyway. Golden State Warriors, as good as they are, they're not very good on the road, but they went to Denver and knocked off the Nuggets going away as an 8-point dog. And I was so impressed with Steph Curry. But I'm telling you, Jarrett Jack, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, George Karl and the Nuggets, have you not been paying attention? This team, they're a good shooting team. They don't play defense. They don't even pretend to play defense. The thing I thought was interesting was Mark Jackson. Very good coach. He's a player's coach, but he's a good coach. A lot of players' coaches are likable but not very good.
Right.
Mark Jackson is likable. He is good. And he made some adjustments. I mean, the strength for the Denver Nuggets is they attack the paint. They're a very good rebounding team. They don't have any stars, but they're very deep. They're very talented. They love to run and gun. They attack the paint. So what their weakness, their Achilles heel, is outside shooting. They're not that good from beyond the arc. So what does Mark Jackson and the Warriors do? They play a high school zone and said, listen, we're going to pack it in and force you to beat us from the outside. Great game plan.
Then they also played small. They started Jarrett Jack, and they lose David Lee, instead of bringing Carl Landry into the starting lineup, they brought Jarrett Jack into the lineup, and they went with basically really a four guard lineup, because Harrison Barnes, even though he's technically a small forward, is a guy that can certainly shoot it, and he did had a great day yesterday. They really played that game with only one real big guy in Andrew Bogut in the starting lineup. I mean, Jarrett Jack, 26 points. Steph Curry, 30 points. Klay Thompson, 21 points. Harrison Barnes, 24 points. Those guys, basically, you could say they played a four guard lineup most of the night as well.
I think that's a credit to Mark Jackson recognizing matchups, because oftentimes, as Phil Jackson always said, it's about matchups. And they love to run. They love to gun. So these two teams mirror each other in that regard. Just a little bit surprising that George Karl, as much as I love the guy, he's just not a good postseason coach. Never has been.
No, and you look at, I know you want to talk about the end of the game, the fourth quarter going into it, and what his philosophy was. But defensively, at some point, you got to, I mean, in the game last night, Golden State in the second, third, and fourth quarters scored 35 points in each of those quarters. Where was Denver's defensive effort, especially at home?
Matador. Defense is what it was. It's like, wow, uncontested layups. And when they weren't getting uncontested layups,
wide open threes.
You cannot leave. And you know, it hurts me to watch Andre Miller shoot a three. He actually made a couple of threes for the Nuggets last night, but it's painful to watch. He is not a good three-point shooter, but he did nail a couple. But again, they packed it in defensively, the Warriors, and forced Andre Miller to beat you from beyond the arc. That's just not going to happen.
Well, Corey Brewer was the one who chucked up about 11 of them yesterday. He only made three. Andre Miller was actually, you know, did a pretty decent job from three. He only tried three of them and made two of them. So I think even he thought, well, I know I'm open, but it's not the best thing for the team to do. But you got to question not getting them out of that zone. You got to get the ball, and you got to find ways to attack it. And all zones have soft spots in them. But the soft spot's not 24 feet from the basket.
That's exactly right. And again, you're going to get some open looks if they're packing it in. But again, Denver, they're not well-versed in knocking down the three-point shot. I look at this team and I think, wow, they're in trouble.
Golden State shot 65% for the game last night. 65%. You'll never lose a game ever if you shoot. That's Harlem Globetrotter numbers against the Washington Generals.
It really is. It really is. Because like even going into the fourth quarter, 63%. And they improved in the fourth quarter when the Nuggets really had to get some stops. So, I mean, how you leave Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Barnes, Jarrett Jack, how you leave these guys wide open is beyond me. And when you did come out to contest, they simply dribbled around you, went in for uncontested layups. But Chandler had a terrible game last night. Long shots, long rebounds, slam dunk opportunities for the opposition, meaning the Warriors. So Chandler, who took over for Gallinari, the guy who's out, their second leading scorer for the Nuggets. So, I mean, you need guys to step up. McGee, limited minutes last night, but the guy can flat out play. But their style of play is conducive to getting in the paint, making it happen, getting to the free throw line. And even as good as they are, the Nuggets, at getting to the line, they're 28th in the league in converting free throws. Not a big deal when you're up 5-10, but when you're down 5-10-12 and you're missing or splitting free throws on a consistent basis, it really takes its toll.
No, you're right. And it was just a poor game plan and executed on the other side. And basically Golden State loves to play playground basketball up and down the floor, shooting threes, making layups, and they were able to do that last night. And anytime the opposing team allows you to do what you like to do, you have to question what the opposing team was thinking.
What do you think it is with George Karl and his ineptness to win in the postseason? I mean, Seattle, that team was stacked. They were favored to win a few years back, 94, I believe it was, when Dikembe Mutombo, the eighth-seeded Nuggets, knocked off the Seattle Supersonics with Sean Kemp and Sam I Am Perkins and Hersey No Mercy Hawkins and Gary Payton. I mean, this team, Nate McMillan, I mean, this team was stacked. They were locked and loaded. Ousted in the first round, George Karl, their coach.
Well, I think Sean Kemp was writing checks to kids
understandably
all over the country.
So.
And missed several games because of that. It's a good question because, you know, George Karl, obviously a great regular season coach, but can't get it done in the playoffs. And we talked about Peyton Manning yesterday, a great regular season quarterback, not getting it done for him in the playoffs on the other side. It's hard to explain because teams – the whole idea of the playoffs is it's my will versus your will, but if your will plays into the other team's hands, you got to change it a little bit. If you can't have your defensive strategy be the offensive strength of the other team. You got to make the other team get out of their comfort level, and he's not been able to do that.
Well, the Nuggets, with that tremendous home court advantage, you play all year to solidify having four of the seven games at home. Well, they just gave that away. And they're not a good road team. They have a road losing record, this team. I still think the Nuggets, two things. I still think the Nuggets will come back and win this series. I think they'll go to Oakland and split and then come back to game five. Game five is always critically important, and everything will be for naught. But I'm a little bit nervous because Anthony Padilla, my co-host on Fridays for the Odds Couple, had the audacity to say that he liked the Warriors to win this series against the Nuggets. And Anthony is a sports fan, not a professional sports bettor. And it irks me because as a professional sports bettor, I've had a very good season documented here. But Anthony has been in a zone with the capital Z. And so I caught him. I caught him red-handed. He made an idiotic statement stating that the Warriors will go into Denver and win that series. And I said, that is a bet you're going to regret. He said, will you shave your head if that happens? I said, of course, I'll shave my head if the Warriors, but now, so again,
oops,
I'm a little annoyed with George Karl.
Well, you know, you did skirt out of shaving your head a couple of weeks ago because you had to go sign autographs and you missed it. And Anthony did shave his head. So you might owe him one.
I might.
Yeah.
It's called karma.
Yeah.
But boy,
you got to be careful of what you're willing to wager if you're not willing to back it up. You know?
Well, I told you off air that, you know, a dime or two on the series is one thing, but to shave my head and have to admit, I don't know which is worse, having to shave my head or to fess up to
As
Anthony
see,
that he's
you know,
a
the
genius.
Highlights. I wonder, you know, if you shave your head, if your highlights will still be there partially.
I wonder.
It'd be like you stuck your finger in a light socket.
Now, for those of you who have no idea what we're talking about, you have to go to Vegas Video Network because this is live and worldwide. Vegas Video Network is we're simulcast on KSHP AM 1400 radio. This is The Odds Couple, a sports betting show. My name is Scott Pritchard, professional sports bettor handicapper. Been fortunate having won sports handicapping contest here in Las Vegas. 3 years that I was in the Superbook contest at the Las Vegas Hilton, now LVH. I was fortunate to finish in the top 10. Identical record of 51-34 ATS against the spread, about 60-61%. They give cash back to the top 20. Steve Fezzik, I have to give a shout out to Steve. This is a guy who
I never knew he had a first name.
It's Steve Fezzik. It's amazing because he won the Superbook contest. It's tough because you have 400 to 500 sports bettors ending up $1,500. You handicap five games a week. This guy won it 2 years back to back. I just can't imagine that will ever be done again.
And the Super Contest is getting bigger and bigger and bigger every year. It was one thing 15, 20 years ago when there might have only been 100 to 150 people in the contest. Now, and Jay Cornegay is a very good friend of mine, we talk about it quite a bit, he's like, you won't believe that the amount of people that are now in this contest. It's amazing. And I think they had, what, nearly 500 entries this past year. Pretty close to it, right?
Yes, exactly.
Which is huge. When you're thinking about at the entry fee, the prize money that's there, and that's, of course, that's going to attract more people because the prize money is getting to be very, very attractive. And not that it wasn't before.
Right. The more times than not, it's about a 40% payout to the first place winner. And Fezzik won it 2 years in a row. It was around $200,000 per year. So good for him. Now, I met a lady, a sweetheart of a gal, Patricia Townsend, this past weekend, and she is the only lady to have ever won the Superbook contest. She won it in 1999. It was worth $114,000. I hope she doesn't mind me telling people that she won $114,000. Family and friends will be coming out of the woodwork.
What? You do what? Don't tell the government.
But it's something, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
For a lady, ladies, as much as we love the ladies, you don't think of ladies being sharp professional sports bettors, handicappers, but she knocked it out of the park in 1999. Good for her. We'll have to have her as a guest on the show. As pretty as you are, she's a lot prettier.
Well, I don't doubt that. I'm not dressing in drag. All right, so don't ask me.
We have the studio line open at 702-221-7283. We would love to hear from you if you have a question on sports betting, Major League Baseball, NBA playoffs. Who do you like to win and why? Also, the live chat is going, Vegas Video Network. We're going to take a quick break. Actually, you know what? Let's keep it right here, and we're going to do something called Spin to Win. all right? Because the professional sports bettor knows that you always bet with your head. You never bet with your heart. And before you step up to the bet window, you want to be able to make an argument for both sides. Tonight we have the Lakers taking on the San Antonio Spurs. It's game two. The Spurs are favored by 9. I'm going to spin to win. Wherever the wheel lands, I have to make an argument for that team. Brett automatically has to argue for the opposing team. And the reason is we have to be objective. Check your emotions at the door. The smart bettor always bets with his head, never with his heart. So spin to win. Lakers on the road. Game two taking on the San Antonio Spurs. Spurs are favored by 9. I've got the Spurs. Wow, this will be easy. The San Antonio Spurs minus the 9, I'm feeling fine. I feel this way all the time. With the San Antonio Spurs, one of the deepest teams in basketball, they have no less than 7 guys on this team averaging double figures. So who are you key on? Manu Ginobili had 18 points in 19 minutes. That equates to 36 points if he played 38 minutes. So this guy is a star player. He's proven. He is a matchup concern. He knocks down the 3. He's relentless on defense. The big 3 is intact for the Spurs. That's good news for San Antonio. Bad news for everyone else. The Laker girls, well, here's the concern. Kobe Bryant out. Now, they won their last 2 games at home, one of which they were favored, another they were a 3.5-point dog. They won. Congratulations. That was then. This is now. They lost game 1 to the Spurs, and the Spurs were favored by 8.5. 8.5 in that game. They ended up losing by 12 to 14 points. So history has a way of repeating itself. The Spurs are hungry. They're healthy. They're well-rested. They're at home. Play the Spurs minus the 9. Ring up the ringer and see the cashier.
Well, you know, it's not a bad idea. For me, on the other side, it's time to zag, right? We zigged in game 1. I get to zag in game 2. And the, you know, the thing about this game from a Lakers standpoint is they only lost in game 1 by 12 points. They were not necessarily blown out of the gym. And, yes, the Spurs got healthy. They got Ginobili back, and they made some threes and hit some big shots. But the Lakers got to feel, I think, pretty good about themselves and the fact that they didn't get blown out of the building. Now I'm getting 9 points in a game that I suspect should be a little bit closer. We're getting nice contributions from Blake. I got my, Steve Blake's been very good coming back. Steve Nash is now back, got a game under his belt coming through, getting me 9 points. I don't have to win the game. I just got to keep it in single digits, and I'm going to cash it. I like my chances.
Well, I wish you luck. All right, you don't want to leave chance.
I'm
to
saying.
Chance. Oh, you have. Yeah, you have no choice. The wheel says you have to make an argument for the Lakers, and I give you credit. You made a good argument for the Lakers. You know, I've been singing a song about the Spurs going into this postseason. Never mind that they finished 3-7 in their last 10 games. They're healthy, minus Boris Diaw. He'll be back hopefully in the second round of the playoffs as long as the Spurs get there, which I know they will.
Right.
And I understand the Lakers are a feel-good story. The fact that they underachieved, then they lost their leader, their field general, and Kobe Bryant. They had won 8 of 9 games. And then, of course, the playoffs started. And see, I've always said going into the playoffs, this Spurs team is undervalued because they are healthy, they're hungry, they're at home, and they are proven. And it also bodes well the fact that this team is so deep that Pop knows best, by the way. Greg Popovich, the best coach on the planet. I love Greg Popovich. I love Bill Belichick for the Patriots. I love good leaders.
I can't argue with you. I mean, neither one of those guys are going to win any personality contests. I'll give them that. But you know what? It's big time athletics. It's big time sports. It's big time business. And if I'm the owner of those teams, I want winners. I want coaches who win. I don't care if they are guys that aren't necessarily great personality guys. I want the W's. That's what they deliver. I want championships. You can't argue with that.
Tough to argue with success, and you talk about personalities. Wayne Fonts was a very likable, lovable, personality-driven coach who could not win even if he saw the final score of a game.
And he had the greatest running back of all time, right?
Barry Sims.
And Barry Sims, one of the greatest of all time. I don't get people who
as good think. As Barry was, he led the league. It's a record, I believe, as far as yards behind the line of scrimmage. So as good as he was, I'm not a big fan. I took it personally when he retired at age 30. He can do whatever he wants, but he left in the prime of his career. I just not a big fan. Not a big Barry.
He was a little.
Sanders.
He was an eccentric guy in that regard, wasn't he? And he left us all wanting more. And I guess that's one of the things you leave when you know you're best is at least done, and we don't have to watch a fading player like we watched a fading Willie Mays or watched a fading superstar, you know, when the Joe Montana says, I'm not done in San Francisco, I want to keep playing, or Joe Namath, and suddenly Johnny Unitas is playing in San Diego, and you're going, really? Should Johnny Unitas be playing in San Diego? Or we watched Brett Favre refuse to give it up. Would you rather have that or leave a guy with us all with a taste of wanting more of somebody? Because we all know how great Barry Sanders was. I agree that he could probably give us a couple more years at a very, very high level, at least. I don't think we ever fully understood why he left, or he gave a good explanation why he decided to leave. We know why other guys decided to leave. And we know why other guys decided to keep playing, because people kept offering him money. So it's hard for you.
Tough to walk away
from
the
blame
money.
Brett Favre when somebody's knocking on your door every year going, come on, get off the farm. Do you realize you live in Mississippi? Get out of here. Come on and play some football.
Not a big Brett Favre fan, never was, never will be. The guy was an attention whore, always all about Brett. Look at me, look at me.
It's not this Brett, though.
Brett Grant, he's a lovable, likable character.
My wife might agree with that, though.
There's a difference between Brett Grant and Brett Favre. One is worth a lot more money than the other.
That's for sure.
But, yeah, not a big Brett Favre fan. Again, I always thought the guy was an attention whore. But you talked about Joe Montana maybe not knowing when to hang it up. But, man, people forget that he went from San Francisco, he went to the Chiefs, and I believe they made it to the AFC Conference Championship game before losing.
It's probably a bad example with him. I was just trying to think of superstars who finished off going other places. And I think probably Johnny Unitas and Joe Namath might be better examples of guys like that. But, yeah, they had that classic Monday night game where he threw the late touchdown pass in there. And the Chiefs were a good team in that era.
We're talking about Joe Montana.
Yeah.
One of my
– Emmitt Smith, another good example, went to Arizona to finish off his career.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, and actually he was scorned. He felt really bad. Hey, how can the Cowboys dump me for but again, running backs, hey man, you're like a vehicle. I mean, you only have so many miles, and I know the average lifespan of a running back in terms of efficiency is about 4 years. It's a young man's game. So I believe there was also Edgerrin James was another guy.
Yeah.
The Colts let him go, and you have to let people go before they. If they have better days. I mean, Sean Alexander, Seattle Seahawks, another example.
Right.
Curtis Martin, another guy who had like 1,800 yards rushing, and then the next year hardly anything. And you're seeing it even with Michael Turner of the Atlanta Falcons down to about 3 yards per carry. But one of my favorite Joe Montana stories has to do with the fact that the guy was in his mid-30s. He's with his family in Hawaii, and he had a broken arm at the time.
Right.
And a lady there in Maui did not know who he was, and he's in his 30s, and she said, what happened to your arm? And he said, I broke it playing football. And she said, aren't you a little old to be playing football? How great is that?
That's pretty good.
Now, you mentioned Joe Namath, okay? Now, we all know that Joe Namath, likable, lovable. The guy was an average quarterback, average. But in 69, he guaranteed, but he was – it was because the media kept saying, I mean, the Baltimore Colts were favored by 19 points in that game, and Namath was fed up, tired of hearing about it, kind of like Anthony Padilla just spewing venom here.
Right.
You know, when he said, he backed into a corner and he said, really, they said they're going to win by 20 points? We're going to win the game, I guarantee it. But it's one thing to say it. It's another thing to back it up and do it. So congratulations. That was well done.
Well, yeah, and I'm sure it's also the New York media. It was New York. If he said that in Green Bay or Minnesota or Kansas City, it might have got the same kind of play as it did with Joe Namath posing in magazines naked, wearing pantyhose, being a TV star, now being a classic drunk on television every time you see him. He's a character in that regard. He's hitting on sideline reporters. Are you happy with what Joe Namath has become, or has he really just been Joe Namath? And that's just Joe Namath all the time.
Joe Namath is every man's hero. He's a man's man. My question
is, he's like Dean Martin. All he needs is a cigarette and a bottle and a glass of scotch. And
Dean Martin, Harry Carey, Joe Namath, one and the same.
Hello again, everybody. Come on over. Yeah, it was.
Well, getting back to that sideline incident with the I forget the lady's name that he was two-thirds into the win. He hit on her on national TV.
Yeah.
She was a little bit giddy about it, but I don't know. I mean, come on. Isn't that on her and or the network? I mean, how do you not know the guy's a little bit tipsy?
Right.
And he wanted to kiss her. And so, oh, yeah. I mean, I kind of put that on her.
Well,
a little bit.
How about the producer?
Joe was simply a victim here, folks.
I think the part they cut out was, "Hey, honey, I got a hotel room across the street. Let's go visit the hotel." Yeah. How about you blame the producer who said, "Let's go to shot four."
Hey, there's Joe Namath. He can hardly stand up. Let's put him on the air.
He's just getting off the ground. Let's get him right now.
Live TV at its best.
Yeah. He had one of those medical alert things. Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. And they picked him back up.
You're listening to The Odds Couple on KSHP AM 1400 radio right here in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada. Simulcast live and worldwide on Vegas Video Network. We're going to take a quick commercial timeout. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Have you ever thought you should be on the radio? Or have you considered doing an online video show or podcast? If so, now is your only chance to do both at the same time. KSHP and the Vegas Video Network have teamed up to provide the only multi-camera broadcast quality video and live radio simulcast in Las Vegas. And instead of having your show played at some ungodly hour, the KSHP Vegas Video Network partnership is producing shows that play from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday. Imagine having your own radio show broadcasting to the entire Las Vegas Valley, and combine that with an online presence that is viewed in all 50 states and 150 countries, both live and on demand. This is a first and an outstanding opportunity to give voice to your business, your ideas, and your talent. If you'd like your own show on KSHP and the Vegas Video Network, contact us today at 221-1200. That's 221-1200.
Welcome back to The Odds Couple on Vegas Video Network, live and worldwide, simulcast on KSHP, AM 1400 radio, Las Vegas, Nevada. We're here Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Las Vegas time. The one exception will be tomorrow. We broadcast the Dodger games. We have a Dodger game going early tomorrow, so Odds Couple will be back with you live on Friday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Now, we would love for you to be a part of the show. Reach out to us. Email us at oddscouple@vegasvideonetwork.com. That's oddscouple@vegasvideonetwork.com. Also, we would love for your voice to be on our show. You can do that through web-based voicemail. Simply go to our site, right-hand side. There's a red bar. Click there, middle of the page, a green bar. Hit start recording. Live chat questions up and running, Vegas Video Network. Now, if you do miss us live, no concerns. Reach out to us through Vegas Video Network, iTunes, Roku. What else? YouTube, maybe? Did I mention that? Okay, great. All right. Well, Scott Pritchard from PritchardsPicks.com, VegasInsider.com, RefPicks.com. Enough with the .com. Let's get to Brett Grant and his segment, Are You Kidding Me?
You have the frustration. I got to say to the NCAA and the people responsible for putting together the college football playoff, their creativity is absolutely off the charts. I mean, these guys... I'm lost for words. They came up with a name for the, you know, we have one more year of the BCS, and then we're going to have a college football playoff. And they came up with a name for it. I mean, boy, this is as obvious as the nose on your face, right? They're going to call it the college football playoff.
The college football
playoff. Are you kidding me? We couldn't think of anything better than that? Do we want to be that bland? I mean, we have bowl games that are called the Beef O'Grady Bowl, the Bridgepoint Education Bowl, the TaxSlayer.com Bowl, the Bell Helicopter Bowl. Why not the college football playoff presented by Goody's Headache Powder, for crying out loud? Because since it's always a team from the South that wins, and NASCAR is beloved in the South, let's call it the Goody's Headache Powder College Football Championship Series or something. The fact they called it nothing is, I think, just absolutely hilarious. It's going to start in 2014. The first game will be at Cowboy Stadium in Arlington, Texas. So I thought since the SEC wins the College Football Championship every year, that I think we should call it the Goody's Headache Powder College Football Championship Game.
I like it. You know, in listening to you, Brett, with your segment, Are You Kidding Me?, you said that... you're a man of few words, or what was it that you said? And I'm thinking, apparently they are too.
Apparently. We're lost for words.
Well, for my segment, are you kidding me? George Karl, the coach of the Denver Nuggets, a team that had only lost 3 home games the entire season. We dog George Karl on this show on a daily basis because he's a great regular season coach. Postseason, not so much. Had talent in Seattle, didn't do squat. Had talent in Milwaukee, didn't do squat. Has talent with the Denver Nuggets. I mean, yes, they don't have any all-stars, but they're top 7-8 guy. I mean, actually, they're top 10 guys. They're racehorses. I mean, they open it up and play full court run and gun basketball. They turn it into a track meet. They're very athletic. They're very long, very gifted as far as professional basketball playing goes, and they just did not get it done last night. And I'm calling out George Karl because at the end of the third quarter, his team down 96-80, down 16 points at halftime. Well, earlier this year, they were down 16 points at home to the Milwaukee Bucks, came back to not only win, they also covered that game. His defense was, well, you know, we were down 10 points to this team earlier in the year, and the fourth quarter came back to win. It's like, you know what? How about manning up and playing some defense? How about that for an original thought? Instead, he said, the reporter said, what do you need to do to get back into the game? And he simply said, we need to play faster. It's like, yeah, that's a great strategy. Play right into the strength of the Golden State Warriors, a team they love to run and gun. They don't pretend to play any defense. That's why you were down 16 points, allowing them to run and gun, fast break points, transition baskets. I mean, how about stopping someone? I mean, you're down 16 points in the fourth quarter, and at one time you had actually made 8 of 11 shots. That's good. That will get you back in the game. The only problem was the Warriors had shot 8 of 10 or 8 of 11 at the same time. So you actually lost ground because they nailed a couple of threes and you only made twos. George Karl, are you kidding me?
Well, defense wins championships. And that's why George Karl has never won a championship.
I think that's true. Greg Popovich would agree with you. I mean, the San Antonio Spurs with Greg Popovich and Tim Duncan, they've won 4 NBA titles. And Popovich, even though they've improved offensively so much, he says even today that it starts with defense. So defense wins championships. I'll give you that, but not so much in football anymore. Defense, right. That's an outdated way of thinking. It's for 70s and 80s. It's an offensive-minded league in the National Football League today. It's a pass-happy league, so it's basically just outscoring the opposition.
No, you're right. And the rules in the NFL have changed so much to help the offense that it really is very difficult to play defense in those kind of games where the offensive player can get away with murder and a defensive player, every ticky-tack little thing where I grab somebody's arm is being called a 40-yard penalty. I think the NFL, not to get off on a tangent, but I think the pass interference rule, I think the college rule is better than the NFL rule because of the fact it really does change a game in the NFL. And it's called so often where a guy will desperation will throw a 40-yard bomb and you get an interference call, and suddenly it's first and goal at the 1-yard line. Whereas in college, it's a 15-yard penalty. Yeah, it's a 15-yard penalty. Maybe they should have the option. If there's incidental interference, as opposed to an egregious foul, which was an obvious call, some kind of way where it's not quite so debilitating to the defense. Because the offense has every other advantage. You can't touch a quarterback. I think right now the quarterback's just going to have like little dots on him in the future of where you're allowed to touch him. And you can't touch him here. Can't touch him here. Can't touch him there. It's getting to be ridiculous in the NFL. And I understand it's all predicated on safety, but the pass interference call I think also needs to be changed because the defense right now really has an extreme disadvantage.
The only concern I have with that is I think the refs, the officials, have way too much power now. I want to eliminate thinking altogether. I don't want it to be subjective. I want it to be black and white because I just do not trust the officials. You never know what they're going to call. Is it pass interference? Is it defensive holding? It varies from game to game. I'll go back to the Monday night game with the replacement refs who were thrown under the bus, and I'm defending. Right. Every Sunday I'm at Red Rock Hotel Casino screaming, bring back the replacement refs! Bring back the replacement refs! There's no difference between the replacement refs and the refs that I saw week in, week out.
Right.
And I'll validate my point. Monday night football, Seattle Seahawks playing the Green Bay Packers, and we know it was a debacle, and we know the replacement ref made the wrong call, a bad call, and he was a scapegoat. The clown, who was not the replacement replay guy upstairs, had the authority to overrule it. He was not a replacement dude, and he chose not to. So it's on him, not the replacement ref.
I agree with you. And, of course, the replacement refs were gone after that game, and the regular refs came back as the NFL panicked and went, oh, my gosh, we can't have this again. But we've had plenty of calls. Remember Ed Hockley in Denver with that call he made a few years ago that were just horrible calls as well. And officials are going to make mistakes. We had a guy, umpire James in the American League, take away a perfect game from the Detroit Tigers on a play that was not even close. And now baseball did not have replay to on a safe out call. They don't allow replay in that regard, but they should. And you see these egregious mistakes happen in every sport. I mean, tennis pretty much got rid of it. The umpire, they use lasers now.
Right.
Boop.
Right.
Boop. Okay, it's that simple, guys. You can argue. You can throw your John McEnroe tantrums all you want. You can throw rackets around. The laser said it was in or out.
Right.
Not me.
Right.
You know.
And you look at, in baseball, you look at a, from one home plate umpire to another, it's subjective. Okay. I would like to eliminate, I want continuity and consistency as a professional sports bettor. You don't get it, but use it to your advantage. Okay. Because we talked before,
right,
if you're betting totals, there are tendencies, there are trends. When this guy, this umpire's behind the plate, the over's been there 8 out of 10. So that, you know, that's one more tool that you can use when handicapping. Now, we want to talk about the Angels. I mean, the Angels are starting to play better baseball. They've been a dead over team. Another exciting game last night as they won their game with a Kendrick walk-off homer.
Well, you know, I tell you what, they had a 4-0 lead, and this is the thing about the Angels. For some reason, the total is still sitting at 8. And you had a game between two very good offensive teams in the Texas Rangers and the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, of California, of Orange County, of wherever they're from. And a 4-0 lead turns into a 4-4 tie. We go into the ninth inning. The Rangers get the bases loaded. And a huge play by Mike Trout, the sophomore sensation for the Angels, was playing left field last night. He makes a diving catch on the track with the bases loaded that would have at least scored two. It probably would have hopped into the seats. My guess would have been a ground rule double. But he preserved the tie. They then went into extra innings and won the game 5-4 on the Howie Kendrick home run. You know, there's some issues going on with the Angels. Pitching-wise, they're not very good. I look at their pitching staff from a starter standpoint, another team with injuries, to a bullpen, to the back end of the bullpen. Not very strong right now. They're also banged up. Albert Pujols is playing. He's obviously hurt. He's playing through some issues. Ibar has not been back since hurting his heel a week and a half ago. He's not been back. But it was a big win, I thought, last night for the Angels and a huge play for Mike Trout. And you need those kind of plays to turn teams around. So I'll be interested to see if the Angels get on a little bit of a roll after that defensive gem last night from Mike Trout.
Well, the Angels started out, I believe, 6-14 a year ago. They brought up Mike Trout, and he went on to become the Rookie of the Year. A lady friend of mine, Jessica, we were dating at the time about a year ago, watching the baseball, and she was sitting next to me saying, "Mike Trout is hot." I remember thinking, I don't remember him being on a hitting streak. What are you talking about?
He's only 2-for-6.
She said, no, I mean, he's hot. So, yeah, Mike Trout. But, hey, guy came in to spring training a few pounds heavy. Is he getting to be a bit of a fat cat these days? I mean, no sophomore jinx so far.
No, I think he's been terrific, and he's still got great speed. And when you get on the banquet circuit, when you're the Rookie of the Year, and you go on all the late night shows, and you start to read your press clippings, I think it's, and you're in Southern California, and there's the pretty girls everywhere, and you know, they'll remember how well Mike Trout looks in his baseball pants, I'm sure. So he probably has lots of fun. Apparently Jessica's one of those. He'll follow him around all over the place.
I wonder. I mean, maybe she likes a guy in uniform, but would that mean that you also like inmates because they're in uniform? It's just an observation. I'm just wondering.
Usually when you say men in uniform, we refer to our military, but inmates I hadn't thought of before.
Police officers, firemen, they're
sure
in uniform. So.
Baseball players, yeah.
Right.
That's
right.
A good point. But, yeah, big win for the Angels last night, no question.
You know, we were talking NFL football, and it's never too early or too late to talk pro football, but the NFL draft right around the corner, I did a little bit of research, not much. I don't really get into it that much because just let me know who's playing first week in September. I'll handicap it accordingly, take it from there. But word on the street has it that this might be the worst draft in years.
Well, I think the draft is – without superstar offensive players that get all the excitement. There, you know, last year we had Andrew Luck, we had RG3. We knew they were going to be the top two players in the draft. And then you had, obviously, Russell Wilson going and getting drafted, Brandon Whedon getting drafted, Ryan Tannehill, all quarterbacks. Well, who gets all the pub in high school football, Pop Warner football, college football, the NFL? It's quarterbacks. This year might be the first time in about 13 years, I think, that a quarterback has not been taken in one of the first three picks of the NFL draft. And it might be the first time in 20 years, maybe, that we go in a first round without a player quarterback being drafted. So it's without the star appeal, and it's going to be very heavy in offensive linemen and defensive linemen. Luke Jokel from Texas A&M will probably be the number one pick in the draft. And, you know, there's no question that we couldn't pick Luke Jokel out of a lineup if we had to. There's no question. I mean, he's an offensive lineman from Texas A&M. He's just a big boy, 300 pounds, 6'7", whatever he is. And I'm sure a terrific football player, but not the star appeal that you expect in an NFL draft. And it probably won't be a running back chosen until mid to late first round. There probably won't be a wide receiver taken until probably 15th or lower as well. So you take no quarterbacks, no running backs, no wide receivers. Now you take away the knowledge of the vast majority of football fans, because we don't know who the defensive linemen and offensive linemen are. We could name you every quarterback and wide receiver on our favorite teams, right? They couldn't tell you who plays left tackle for Alabama.
Right.
I have no idea.
Right.
He'll be drafted, I'm sure, pretty high in the draft.
Right.
You know?
You know, I can't help but think NFL draft day, nothing probably will ever compare to the quarterback class of 1983. And as you were talking, I was writing down, I think we had six star quarterbacks. I wrote down five that I can recall. Elway, Blackledge, who was a bust. Ken O'Brien, 10 years in the league. And then
Jim Kelly,
right. I'm trying to think who the other one was. Elway, Blackledge, O'Brien, Marino, Jim Kelly. And what's interesting is of the five that I wrote down, Marino was the last. He was either the 29th or 30th pick of the Miami Dolphins. So a lot of people passed on the guy who set all kinds of records. Namely, right. No one has passed for more yardage and most touchdowns in a season than Dan Marino.
And no titles. No titles for Jim Kelly.
Oh, yeah, by the way.
Right. Yeah, oh, by the way. But they're both great quarterbacks. And I don't hold that against somebody if they don't win a championship. I can still consider somebody to be a great quarterback or a great player. There's no question that Charles Barkley was a great basketball player. No question Patrick Ewing was a great basketball player. Just because their teams didn't win championships, for me, they're still great players.
I would agree. I mean, Karl Malone did not win
great player.
Any NBA titles, yet Derek Fisher, one of my least favorite players on the planet, has won five. I think Kobe Bryant had something to do with that.
Would you rather be Robert Horry and have his career, or rather have the career of Karl Malone?
Karl Malone, I really would. I mean, every player plays for the championship, but Karl Malone, Stockton to Malone, forget personalities, forget if you like this player's favorite color or hobbies, likes, dislikes. Try to enjoy what I do. I just enjoy the talent that I see on the court. Stockton to Malone never got old to me.
Right. I think we're running out of time. We better do the right side.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, the right side. Oh, gosh, I forgot about that. Okay. All right. This is the part of the show where Anthony or Brett?
Today I'm Brett.
It's the wrong tape.
Where Anthony never loses and Brett wins once in a while.
This is the part of the show where Brett, Grant, and I put money into your pocket as we together put you on the right side.
It's my turn, and we're doing speed right side today because we're running out of time. No. I'm going to go to a baseball game. I like the New York Mets today with their great young pitching star, Matt Harvey, against Ted Lilly, who is coming off an injury and making his first start since his injury. The timing's good for the Dodgers, but Harvey has been absolutely fantastic. He's 4-0, an ERA of .09, and a whip of .6. Teams aren't scoring on him. He takes it deep into games. He's given up only three runs in his four starts. You're laying 60 cents, but I'm going to lay the juice with Matt Harvey and the Mets.
Looking at a baseball game, the Padres at home against the Milwaukee Brewers. My pitcher, Estrada, is a .116 favorite. Small juice. His whip, Walks, hits per innings pitch, 1.33. So my right side, the Milwaukee Brewers, minus the 16 cents on the road, taking on the San Diego Padres. My name is Scott Pritchard, professional sports bettor handicapper featured on VegasInsider.com. We have a million views per day. PritchardsPicks.com, RefPicks.com with Tim Donahue. Check it out. For Brett Grant, my name is Scott Pritchard, the odds couple. We'll be back not tomorrow, but on Friday. We'll see you then.